This presentation is brought to you by iAwaken.org, a not-for-profit organization. We hope you enjoy the presentation. Please observe the copyright terms to which you have agreed.
There's a strange halacha which is brought in Dvorim in Kitetze. And that halacha really follows on from a different halacha in Shoftim. In Shoftim we're told, Ki sikrav el ir lihilochem oleho, when you draw near to a city to fight against it, v'choroso eleho l'sholim, the first thing before you try and invade the city is to give the city the opportunity for sholim. Sometimes it's necessary to engage in war. There have been many wars, unfortunately, between Am Yisrael and the various nations of the world. There have also been wars within Am Yisrael, and most of them have all been necessary. But the introduction to any war has to be the Koroso Eileh L'Sholeh. It has to be one last effort before warfare to make sholem. Of course, if the other side is prepared to make sholem, it's on our terms. We don't have to offer sholem and go back to what the status quo was before, because then you can have another milchama in a week's time. If it's to be sholem, then one has to be meshabed the other side. Then the other side has to acknowledge the leadership of Am Yisrael and has to subject themselves to Am Yisrael as a colony. Then they can be sholem. And that really is the principle of sholem. We're talking about the Milchemes Rishus, where it's necessary to go out to war. Take the situation in Lebanon, for example. The world shouts, peace, peace. Good, okay, let's have sholem. But sholem means that that Lebanon, having been vanquished or about to be vanquished, if they want sholem, the answer is good. Sholem as avodim. We'll become a colony of Eretz Israel. We'll serve Eretz Israel. Then there can be sholem. But to say, yes, sholem, but on our terms, we've got to stay independent and you've got to get out of our country and you've got to leave us the way we were when we were making your lives a misery like it was a couple of years ago. We've got to get back to that situation again where we are free to continue to make your lives a misery. Then we'll have sholem. That's what the world wants. It's nonsense. And that's the whole attitude of the Olam to sholem. Is that in our part of the world as well, in our part of society, it's the same situation. Where the world wants sholem with our neighbors and sholem with the territory, with the terrorists and sholem in Southwest Africa. What's the meaning of sholem? Sholem is that each one has to be left to itself as it used to be. That's not sholem. Sholem, where there's a situation of impending warfare, the stronger one calls out for sholem, the stronger one gives the opportunity, the koroso eleho l'sholem, and then v'hoyo im sholem ta'ancho, if they answer yes, sholem, we want peace, ufoscho loch, and they open up for you, v'hoyo kol ho'om hanimtso bo yiyu l'cho l'mas v'avoducho, then all the people of that city will be for you as a tax. They will have to pay taxes v'avoducho, and they will serve you. They will become colonized. And if they don't accept those terms, and they make war with you, now they become the aggressors. We've offered the opportunity for peace. It's true, peace is a colony, but that's your choice. We're stronger than you, and you've misbehaved yourselves, and if you want peace, you're going to have to work for the stronger nation. Then you start the siege and so on. That's the halacha in Shoftim. In Kitetze, there's another halacha. A few halachas. The first one, Lo yovo amoni umoavi bikahal Hashem. And Amoni and the Moavi will not be allowed to come into the Kahal Hashem. They can never be accepted as converts. Gamdol Asiri, even the 10th generation, Lo yovo lohem bikahal Hashem ad oilom, they will never be allowed to become part of Klal Yisrael. Why? Al devar asher lo kidnu eschem balechem uvamayim baderech betzeischem bimitzrayim, because they did not bring forward for you bread and water on your way out of Mitzrayim. Asher sochar olecho es Bilam ben Beor mipsoir Aram Naharayim lekaleleko, and because they hired Bilam to curse you, Bilam ben Be'or from Pesor to curse you. And there's a lot of discussion among the Rishonim, which we won't get into now, which nation did which, and did they both do both, or did one do one and one did the other. But there are two Averas which are mentioned, that they didn't come forward with bread and water, and the Ramban learns that's the Ammonim, they didn't come forward with bread and water. And the Vashasocha Alecho is Bilam ben Be'or was the Moabite, although in the Medrash it's mashma not like that, but that's how the Ramban learns, and the Rashbo learns, and various other Rishonim. Others learn that both did both. There are all sorts of ways in it. And then we're told, Loi sidroish shloimam v'toivosom, you are not permitted to seek their peace and their goodness, kol yomecha loilam all their days forever. So this din, which we were told earlier, that the koroso aleha l'sholim, that before you make any war, you've got to call out for peace, here that doesn't apply. Now there's another halacha in the beginning of Dvorim, that we're not allowed to make war on Moab and Ammon. So it's a very strange combination of halachas. On the one hand, we're not allowed to make war against them, for reasons which we will still discuss. However, if there is a war with them because they started or because they've occupied our territory or whatever, when we fight, lo sidro shloimam v'tivos. Which, what's strange about that combination of halachas is that it appears that lo sidro shloimam v'tivosam is not because we have to wipe those nations out. Those aren't one of the nations that we have to wipe out. In fact, they're one of the nations we're forbidden from wiping out. So the halacha in Kitetz of lo sidro shloimam v'tivosam, you don't call out for peace to them. That's not because we mustn't give them the opportunity, they must be utterly destroyed. No, we're not permitted to destroy them. So what's lo sidro shloimam? So it appears that really we have nothing to do with them. Not to fight with them, and not to make peace with them. It's a very strange relationship with Ammon and Moab. Just have nothing to do with them. Just keep away. That seems to be, just looking at the psukim before we get involved in Chazal, there seems to be this kind of attitude. You're not permitted to fight against them. You're not permitted to destroy them. Nor can you have any peace with them. Nor should you inquire after their welfare. Nor can you ever accept them as converts. Just keep your distance. Which is an interesting concept, and it's a chiddush in the Torah. That there are people that we need to destroy, that we know. There's Amalek, there's the Canaanim, there are people one has to destroy. That there are people that one has to love and one has to care about, that we know. There are people that we've got to love and we've got to care about. But that there are also people for whom we must just keep away, nothing to do. Don't love them, don't care about them, don't seek peace with them, don't make war with them. Just nothing, just keep your distance with them. That's a new concept altogether. What we need to understand is what is the essence of Ammon and Moab that makes it necessary for the Torah to adopt this attitude. Now on that parasha there are two Rambans, and on the surface the two Rambans seem to be very different. Firstly, on the Ramban on the first pasuk that says Al Dvar Asher Lo Kidmu Eschem Belechem Uvamayim, a reason given in the Torah that we must not have any peace with them, and that they must not be permitted into Klal Yisrael, is because they did not bring forward fruit and water. The Ramban goes through a whole business bringing proofs and tracing the history as to whether that was the fault of both of them or not. So he goes through the whole business and he disproves various other shittas. And at the end he says, Vahanire Eilai, and it appears to me, says the Ramban, Ki hakosuv hirchik shnei he'ochim ho'ele, that the Torah was marchik, these two brothers. So we see in the Loshon of the Ramban that our initial understanding of the Psukim is accurate. So the Torah doesn't say destroy them, the Torah doesn't say marchik, just push them aside, get away from them. These two brothers, Moab and Ammon, why is the Torah marchik them? Why does it create a distance between them and ourselves? Shehoyu gemulei chesed me'avron, they were recipients of chesed from Avraham Avinu. Shehitzil avihem ve'imom min hacherev v'hashvi, because he saved their mother and father from the sword and from capture. Their father was Lot, a descendant of Lot, from Lot. And we know how Avraham was moisa nefesh to go and jump into the battle to pull them out to pull Lot and his family out of the trouble with the five kings and the four kings. and later on with Sodom, how he argued with the Ribbono Shel Olam to get him out of the destruction of Sodom. So we know that Avraham was Moshe Nefesh to save Lot. And it was because of the schus of Avraham that the Ribbono Shel Olam sent them out of the destruction of Sodom. And therefore they are morally obligated to show Hakoros HaToiv to Yisrael. Amrin and Moav, they owe their existence to Yisrael. And that's something they can never repay. So for the rest of history, they should be obligated to show Chesed to Yisrael. V'heim osu imohem ro, and instead, they did evil to Yisrael. Instead of not doing the Chesed, not doing the Hakoros HaToiv, they did evil. Ho'echot socher olav Bilam ben Beor, v'heim amoyavim, v'moavim hayad Bilam, v'ho'echot lo'i kodom oisa belechem uvamayim, and the other one didn't bring forward bread and water. So the Ramban is not going so much on the particular actions, that they didn't bring bread and water, that they hired Bilam ben Beor. What he's worried about is that they did them harm when they should have done them good. That's what the Ramban says. That they were gemulei chesed me Avraham, they were recipients of chesed from Avraham, and therefore they owed Hakadosh Baruch Hu to Klal Yisrael. And instead of that, they caused them harm. What harm? Each one did a different thing. It doesn't matter what harm. That's not what's important. Although initially, reading the psukim, it would seem that what they did was important. But Ramban says, no, what's important is that they did harm. Instead of showing Hakadosh Baruch Hu, they did the opposite. This is also an interesting midah. That a person doesn't have Hakadosh Baruch Hu. It's difficult to understand, but we all slip up on that. It's one of the most important midahs. And it's one of the most difficult midas. There are reasons why it's so difficult. I don't know if we'll have a chance to get onto that this evening. It's one of the most difficult midas, and it's the basis of everything. It's the basis of all Yiddishkeit, is Hakoros HaToiv. Because if there's not a strong feeling of Hakoros HaToiv, there can be no Ben Odom LeChaver, and there can be no Ben Odom LeMokhi. Our whole Yiddishkeit is based on wanting to repay the Ribbono Shel Olam for his chesed to us. And if we don't feel a need to repay people who've done chesed to us, then our whole Yiddishkeit has to be very weak. So the whole basis of Menschlichkeit, it's everything. And yet one slips up on it terribly. Hakoros HaToiv is one of the things one slips up most easily. One slips up. That can happen. But to do harm to people who we owe our lives to, you're not talking stam. Hakoros HaToiv, somebody helped me, I fell down and somebody helped me. We're not talking about that. We're talking about somebody who saves our lives. Somebody without whom we wouldn't be here. Such Hakoros HaToiv. Parents, for example. Without our parents, we wouldn't be here. So we owe our parents our lives. So nobody fulfills that obligation of Hakoros HaToiv properly. We don't give our parents what they deserve. But it's not usual to find that we give them a slap in the face. A normal person maybe doesn't do as much as he should do, or maybe he even does nothing. But it's not normal behavior to find a child that actually acts against the parent. This kind of behavior from Amoin and Moav to Klal Yisrael, to actually act against them, is a very interesting psychology. And that's the reason, says the Ramban, just keep your distance, which is an interesting moral concept. A person who doesn't have Hakoros HaToiv, just keep away. There's nothing to do with him. Just push him off. Have nothing to do. You can't relate to such a person. The next Ramban goes on the issue of Lo Tidru Shloima. First one goes on why they're not allowed to become part of Klal Yisrael. Second one is Lo Sidru Shloima V'Tevosam. Don't care for their peace and goodness. And again, a long Ramban, he goes through the whole thing of what and why. And he gives various reasons. V'Derech HaPshat. And the simple, straightforward reading, reason. Ta'am loy sidro shloimam v'toivosom. The reason for not seeking their goodness and their shalom and their goodness, klema, that it means to say the following. Afal pi shehem b'nei mishpachtachem, even though they are mishpocha after all. Amon and Moav are cousins of ours. V'avroam avichem ohaves avihem ke'ach loy. And your father Avraham loved their father Lot like a brother. Yoinek shudei imoy. Like a brother who has sucked his own mother's breasts. As close as that, they were intimate like brothers. Nevertheless, Don't relate to them as brothers. Also an interesting concept, that you can have somebody who is a brother, and the Torah says, don't relate to them as a brother. Ki heim heiferu is bris achvo, because they annul the covenant of brotherhood. This whole thing is just full of such chidushim. Each phrase should be a motoshabashi all on its own. A bris achvo, says the Rambam, there is a concept of a bris achvo, when brothers have to relate to one another in a certain way. That's a deal, it's a covenant. It's not just a physiological and a biological relationship. Because of the biological relationship, there is a bris achvo. And it's possible to be mefer the bris achvo. By the conduct of one of the brothers, you can have that covenant of brotherhood being eliminated and being bottled, and they're no longer obligated to relate to one another as brothers, even though physiologically they're brothers. And the Torah tells us they having being made for the bris achvo, annulled the covenant of brotherhood, it must remain so forever, says the Torah. I don't want it ever put together. When brothers have broken that covenant of peace, don't make shul. That's already gone too far. The best is that they should have nothing to do with one another. The Torah says here. Now, are those two Ramban saying the same thing? The first Ramban said the reason that the Torah was marchik them is because they owed us ha'koros ha'tov, and they didn't give us the ha'koros ha'tov. The second Ramban says, although they're brothers and cousins, they're relations, they're mishpocha, nevertheless, since they have chosen to annul the covenant of mishpocha, we must have nothing to do with them. Are those two the same? Lechoyra not. The chiyuv, the obligation of Hakoros HaTov, has got nothing to do with the Bris Achva. Hakoros HaTov is not just between brothers. Hakoros HaTov is between any two human beings, and not only two human beings. We've learned in many shiurim on Hakoros HaTov, between animals and human beings, even between things and human beings. We've learned that Moshe Rabbeinu, when it came to striking the water in the first of the 10 plagues, he didn't do it. Why not? Hakoros HaTov, the water saved him after all. The ground, when he had to strike the ground, he didn't, because he buried the mitzvah in the ground. The ground protected him. Hakoros HaTov to inanimate objects as well. So we find that Hakoros HaTov has got nothing to do with the relationship between the two people concerned. Hakoros HaTov is a morality within me. It's got nothing to do with the way I relate to you as an individual and our relationship one to another. Even to an inanimate object, there has to be in my conduct an aspect of Hakoros HaTov in everything I do, whether it affects other people or it doesn't. Hakoros HaTov is a way of acting. It's not a relationship between two people. In that case, in the second Ramban, where he talks about the fact that Ammon and Moab broke the bris achvo, that must be something else he's talking about. It seems to be two things here. They broke the bris achvo, and they didn't show Hakoros HaTov. For not showing Hakoros HaTov, they can never marry into Klal Yisrael. And we're marchik them, we distance ourselves, and loy tidra shleiman v'tivosom, that's because they're mefer bris achva. Now there's a medrash in today's sedra, which I did recently with the ladies, and with that medrash, I think one can understand the yesod, which will explain these two rambans. On the first, one of the early mitzvahs in this week's Sedra, Tzorur is Hamidyonim. Torah says, Tzorur is Hamidyonim. Make Tzorus for the Midyonim. And start attacking them. V'ikisem oisom and smite them. Ki Tzorurim heim lochem. Because they caused you Tzorus. V'nichle hem asher nichlu lohem al devar po'er. With their schemes that they schemed against you with the matter of po'er. The whole business with Cosby, where they planned for their girls to come out and to cause trouble with the men, and through that there was a Magefo, there was a tremendous loss of life. That was all through their scheming. And the Medrash is very worried about this. Make Tzoros for the Midyonim. Wipe them out, okay, but what's this? Tzoros Midyonim. And the Medrash refers to these halachas in Dvorim, which concern Moab and Ammon. Again, there are various mephoshim that question why the Medrash discusses the relationship of Ammon and Moab when we're talking about the Midyonim here. And there are many different answers that are given. One of them is based on the Yalkut in the next week's Sedra, that in fact the Midyonim here aren't the Midyonim, it's actually the Moabites. and some that the Merbats and the Midyonim joined together for this whole deal. The Ramban takes a different line, which we'll discuss a little bit later. But the Midrash says the following: Afal pi shekosavti ki tikrav el ir lehilochem oleh. Even though I wrote, this is God talking, even though I wrote in the Torah, when you come to a city to fight against her, the korosa eleh l'sholim, the first thing you should do is extend the hand of peace. La'elu loy ta'asu kein, to these you don't do that. No hand of peace to the Ammonim and the Moavim. Loy sidro shloiman v'toivosom, no drisha sholim, you don't look for peace with them. If you have to fight, you fight, that's it. There's no effort at all to establish peaceful relationships with them. At moitzei b'mishe bo imoyim b'midas rachamim, you find somebody in fact tried to approach them using the mido, the characteristic of rachamim, of mercy and identification and sympathy. V'soif bo lidei bizoyon u'milchomois v'tzoris. At the end, he came to bizoyon, to disgrace, to war and to tzora, to trouble. Still more an interesting concept. So now we see that there are certain people that if you show mercy to them, you'll be disgraced. There is such a thing. Sometimes one can be, it's stupid to show mercy. You show mercy and at the end you become the shlumil. You see such a concept, and one has to know about that before and not show mercy to such people. The Eiz is there, and who is this that did this? David. What happens? We're told in Shmuel Beis chapter Yud, Vayomus Melech Bnei Amon. Now David HaMelech was, apart from the relationship with Lot and Avraham Avinu, David HaMelech had much closer relationships with Moab and Amon, family relationships. He was not more than a few generations back, he was descended both from Moab and from Amon, which is also altogether an interesting concept. And when he was running away from Shaul and he felt that his family was in danger, he took his family to his mishpocha. He had to get them out of Eretz Yisrael. They had to be out of the territory of Shaul, because he felt that they were in danger there. Where do you go? Where do you run to? A Jew is running away from his own people. Where is he going to go? Go to family. So he went to Moab, and he asked Moab to look after his parents and his brothers. And the king of Moab wiped them out. He killed them all. And one brother escaped. The one brother who escaped, David HaMelech, then took to Amon, to his other mishpoche, and he asked Amon to keep him, and he did. The king of Amon, Nachash, the king of Amon, looked after this brother of David until David could bring him back into Eretz Yisrael, and David never forgot it. It came the time that Nachash died, Vayimloich Chonon b'noi tachtov, and Chonon his son took over. Vayomer David, and David said, E'ese chesed im Chonon ben Nachash, let me do a kindness to Chonon the son of Nachash. Kasher also, Oviv imodi chesed, like his father did chesed to me. Hakoros atoiv, his father looked after my brother, I've got to do some kind of chesed to him. Vayishlach David lenachamoy biyad avodo del Oviv, and David sent his servants to be Menachem over, comfort the mourners. Chanun was now a mourner, and he sent messengers to go and to comfort the mourner for his father. What happened? The officers of Bnei Amon said to Chanun, do you really think that David all of a sudden is showing you this kind of cover, that he's really coming to comfort you? Is that what he's sending messengers for? Haven't you read their Torah? It says in their Torah that an Ammoni can never become part of Klal Yisrael. Egyptians can become part of Klal Yisrael. Germans can become part of Klal Yisrael, but Ammonim never. That's us. They'll never accept us. So what do you think now? He's coming for Chesed? He's coming for Sholem? Is that what he's doing here? He's coming to spy. And they took these messengers and they cut their uniforms at the knee, and they cut off half their beards, and they sent them back in disgrace. And later on there was a war, and a lot of people between Amon and David HaMelech, and a lot of people died in the war. It became a very big battle, and that's what happened, says the Midrash. Vayomer David eseh chesed im Chanun ben Nachash. David said, I shall do kindness with Chanun. Amar le HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so the Ribono Shel Olam said, Adavora, are you going to transgress my words? Ani kosavti lo yisidro shloiman v'toivosom. I said, don't seek their peace and goodness, have nothing to do with them, I say in my Torah. and you're going to do chesed with this nation. Al tehi tzadik harbein. Ribbono Shel Olam quotes a pasuk from Koheles, don't be too much of a tzadik. What does that mean? Shelo yehi odom mevater al haTorah. Don't, in your overzealousness, find that you're going against the Torah. You want to be a big tzaddik. Hakoros haTorah. Hakoros haTorah, you want to show. So how do you do it? By doing exactly what I say don't do. I say, Al tidu eshleimam, and you go and you send messengers there to do gemilus chasodim. V'zeh shuleach l'nachem b'nei amin v'la'asisim chesed. And this one is sending to b'nei amin and to do chesed with them. Soif bo lidei bizoyon, and then it quotes psukim where he comes to disgrace and to war. That's why it says the Medrash, tzorer es ha-midyonim, get to these, with these midyonim, make tzoros for them, don't make peace with them. They're not, that's not the way one relates to them. There are certain people you relate with a hand of peace and they know how to take it. There are others who don't know how to relate to a hand of peace and they'll take it incorrectly and you don't do it. That's the midyonim. What's the pshat in this Medrash? Didn't David know the halacha? Didn't David know that it says in the Torah, al tidrosh shloimam, you mustn't seek their peace? Why was he becoming such a tzaddik? Hakoros haTov. He owed Hakoros haTov. And we learn that even with the Midyonim, Moshe Rabbeinu does show Hakoros haTov. Does anybody remember when Moshe Rabbeinu shows Hakoros haTov with the Midyonim? Because don't forget, he was protected in Midyan. He was, when he ran away from Paro, he lived in Midyan. So he owes Midyan also Hakoros haTov. Andrew? Sorry, Andrew? Oh, when the Ribbono Shel Olam said, go and smite the Midyonim, he sent Pinchas. He didn't go. Next week, Sedra. Why not? Hakoros haTov, the same as he didn't smite the water and he didn't smite the ground, he's not going to smite the Midyonim. So David learns from Moshe Rabbeinu that even though the Midyonim are so wicked and they have to be wiped out and Litidra Shleimam and all the rest of it, but Hakoros haTov there has to be. To everybody there's got to be Hakoros haTov, because Hakoros haTov does not affect my relationship with them. Hakoros haTov is the way I do things. And even if it was a stone or the ground or the earth, Hakoros haTov there has to be. Says David HaMelech, this nation of Ammon, but I can't leave a chesed which they showed me unresponded to. That means I don't have a Hakoros haTov. So good, David HaMelech, so why do you wait till the father dies? Who did the chesed? Nachash did the chesed, not the son. Now all of a sudden you wake up, you want to do a chesed. If you want to do the Hakoros haTov, why didn't you do it earlier? And in that question lies the answer. Why did David wait until this point to do the chesed? The Rambam says in Hilchus Ovel, the 14th perek, mitzvahs asay shel divrehim, it is a positive mitzvah of the Rabbonin, levaker cholim, to visit sick people, ulenachem avelim, and to comfort mourners, ulehoitzi hameis, and to go to levayas, to funerals, ulehachnis hakalo, and to attend to the needs of a kala, ulalavo is ha'urchim, and to see off visitors, ulhis asik bechol tzorche ha'kvuro, and to deal with all the requirements of kvuro, whatever the dead person needs, to handle with that and deal with that, is a mitzvah asim midivrei. Rechim l'sameach ha'kala v'achosun, l'sadam bechol tzorcheim, and so on and so forth. Ve'elu hein gemilus chasodim shebegufoy, these are examples of gemilus chesed that one does with one's body, not with one's money. She'ein lohem shiur, there's no shiur when one's yotze. How much does one have to do to be yotze? There's no shiur. You can, as much as you do, you're not yotze. Afal pi shekol mitzvahs eilu midivrehem, even though these particular mitzvahs are midrabonim, the mitzvah to be mevakeh cholim, the mitzvah to be menachem avelim, says the Rambam, these mitzvahs, these particular mitzvahs are laws enacted by the rabbis, but nevertheless, harei hen bichlal v'yahavto l'reacho kamoicho. They are all included in the mitzvah d'oraisa, and the Torah's mitzvah of love your neighbor as yourself. What does that mean? What is pshat in v'yahavto l'reacho kamoicho, says the Rambam? Kol hadvorim she'ato roitze she'yasu oysom l'cho acheri. Anything else which you would like other people to do to you, asay ato oisom laachicho b'toyru v'mitzvus. You must do that to your brother in Toyru v'mitzvus. Anybody who shares your value system with your brother in Toyru v'mitzvus, the Rambam learns that v'atul recha kamecha is not a mitzvah on all of humanity, and it's not even a mitzvah on all of the Jewish people. It's a mitzvah on laachicho b'toyru v'mitzvus. on another Jew who acknowledges Torah mitzvahs, who accepts the Ribbono Shel Olam. On him one has the obligation of Ve'ahavta L'Reicha Kamoicha, which means do to him as you would want other people to do to you. That's how the Rambam learns, and included in that is the mitzvah, among others, L'nachem Aveilim, to comfort mourners. It's a mitzvah of Ve'ahavta L'Reicha Kamoicha. What is the mitzvah? Says the Rambam, Shulchan Aruch, various things that one has to do when one does, when one goes to be Menachem Novel. But one of the interesting things that one does or doesn't do is neither the Ovel nor the one who's being Menachem is Shoel Shalom. You don't say how are you and Shalom Aleichem. You don't say to an Ovel. Why don't you say Shalom Aleichem? Because it's an insult. Shalom Aleichem means peace be on you. What you're saying, peace be on you, when he's going through that? It's a joke. That's what he feels most bad about. One of the things that hurts an Ovel most of all is when he looks out at the world and he sees everybody's going about their normal business. One of the things that he can't understand, such a terrible tragedy has happened. And he sees everybody getting into their cars and going off to work and doing their normal things. And he can't relate to that. This difference between the rest of the world and him, this tremendous feeling of alienation, is what bothers him. So in comes this fellow, breathes in, Shalom Aleichem, Shalom Aleichem. That's exactly what he's finding so difficult to relate to. I'm not at Shalom, I'm not at peace with myself, I'm in terrible sorrow. What is Shalom Aleichem in me? So the din is no Shalom Aleichem. We don't say Shalom. Ein Shalom b'shloim ha'ovel. We don't ask him how he is and Shalom. That's not what one discusses with the other. We know how he is, we know he's in sorrow. How are you? What do you expect him to say? Fine, thanks, and you? We know how he is. To put him into the position where he has to answer is cruel. So we don't do that. Once there's that halacha, then one begins to understand what David HaMelech had in mind. He receives a chesed from Ammon, from Nachash, the king of Ammon. He wants to respond, but he can't respond because there's a din in the Torah, lo sidra shloiman v'tevoso. You cannot be asked for their peace and seek their peace and say shalom aleichem to them. You can't say hello to them, lo sidra shloiman. You can't send them regards and you can't say shalom aleichem to them. So how's he going to do a chesed with them? He's going to go over to Nachash, and Nachash will say, oh, my neighbor David HaMelech, my long lost cousin, Shalom Aleichem. What's David going to say? Rainy day today, isn't it? He said, David, I said Shalom Aleichem, can you answer me? Yeah, the stock market's not so good today, is it? And the rand's come down, what's going on? I said Shalom Aleichem. There would be a war straight away. So how's David going to find a way of showing chesed to Amoim without being Dorei Shalom? How can you do such a thing? The thing is to say Shalom Aleichem. And he can't do that. So David works out, I will wait till Nachash dies. When Nachash dies, I'll send messages to be Menachem Ovel. They'll be Menachem Ovel, they won't say anything. And that will be a chesed. And they'll understand. So here's a situation where I can respond. I can show them a kindness for the kindness they did to me. And I won't be required to say Shalom Aleichem. Not only won't I be required, the very chesed I'll be showing them is not saying Shalom Aleichem. They'll say, oh, how sensitive these people are. Not to come in breathing in saying Shalom Aleichem. Wonderful. So I won't be over the Isur and the Torah of Leisidros, Shloiman, Betoivosom. I don't even have to speak. My messengers simply have to go in and sit down. That's all one has to do with Nichum Aveli. One of the biggest things is just to show identification. I'm aware of the Torah you're in. I'm with you in it. I care about you. That's all. You go into the home of an Ovel, you sit down for a few minutes and you get up and you go without a word, pass it. And there can be tremendous strength that one gives to an Ovel just by doing that. They don't have to be words, and sometimes it's painful for the Ovel even to have to speak. What's he going to say that you'll understand? What are you going to say that he'll understand? There's a difficulty in communication in any case. So the best form of communication under those circumstances is very often just to sit and say nothing. So David waits and waits and waits. Nachash dies. Oh, now is my chance to show HaKoros HaToyiv without being Dorei Shalom. Good. That's tremendous chokhmah. To work all that out and to plan all that, to be Mekayim the mitzvah so that he can show HaKoros HaToyiv without Dorei Shalom. So what does the Ribbono Shel Olam get so angry with him for? He's done it very nicely. He's got around it beautifully. And if the Medrash says in the strongest terms, are you transgressing my words, David HaMelech? And you're doing chesed. So the thing is, but the chesed I'm doing is the one chesed in the world which doesn't require drisha sholem. Says the Rebbe Hashem, you're still transgressing my word. Al tihi tzaddik harbe, don't be such a tzaddik. Strong criticism he gets from the Ribbono Shel Olam, even though he worked this out to the last detail. So where did he go wrong? Another Rambam. Rambam says a little bit further in the same perek, Kovrin Meisei Akum. One goes to funerals, one buries the dead of the Akum of Oivdei Avodah Zarah. And one goes to comfort their mourners. A goy dies, one goes to the family, one does nichum aveilim with goyim as well. And one visits the sick. I always say, when one goes into a hospital to visit a sick person in the ward, one goes up to every person in the ward, not just to the Jewish people, not to every person in the ward. One goes and one is mevakeh chayle. That's the din. Why? It's chesed, it's gemilus chasodim. And what did the Rambam say is the yesod of the gemilus chasodim? V'yahavto l'reecho kamecho. What's the whole principle? He says all these laws of the rabbis are based on the law in the Torah of v'yahavto l'reecho kamecho. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And what is reecho? Reecho of a mitzvah. It's talking about a feeling of identification. Do to others what you want done to yourself. So you have to feel about others as you feel about yourself. It's not possible to feel with some kind of Buddhist monk in Tibet. After the reecho kamoicha. What's a shaykh? After the reecho, there he stands in front of some Buddha bowing down, and you're going to want to feel about him the way you feel about yourself? Is it possible? That's not what it means. V'yavta l'recha kamecha. V'yavta l'recha kamecha, says the Rambam, is achicha b'teira of the mitzvahs. So there's another Yid who's also meisa nefesh for Torah and for the education of his children and for Shmiras Shabbos and for Kashrus and for Taras and Mishpocha. He gives his life for the same things you give your life for. That's such a person. One can feel for him the way one feels for oneself. So where is it shaykh that for a goy, for Oivdei Avodah Zarah, idol worshippers, Kovrin Metei Akum, Menachmim Aveilehem, Mevakrim Choleim? Answers the Rambam, Mipnei Darkei Sholeim. It's for politics, it's not for chesed. You can't be Mekayim the chesed. The levels of identification which the Torah requires in acts of chesed, that we're too distant from these people to be able to feel that way about them. And that's not what the Torah wants. But the Torah wants peaceful relationships between all the nations. The Torah wants all human beings to get on together. And for that there have to be acts of chesed. So it's an act of chesed without an emotion of chesed, without a feeling of chesed. And doesn't feel close to them. That's not why why am I doing it? So that there should be nice relations between us. It's politics. But we see that there's a place for politics and relationships between Jew and Gentile. If that's the reason for Bikur Cholim, says the Medrash, are you going to transgress my words? I wrote Loi Sidro Shleim and V'Toivosom. Don't seek their peace. I don't want Darkei Shalom with these people. It's true, you're not asking them Shalom Aleichem. You're not being Darkei Shalom actively, but you're doing a chesed. Why does one do a chesed with a goy? One does it for Darkei Shalom, so that there should be good interpersonal relationships. I don't want good interpersonal relationships with Amo and David HaMelech. And the only reason for doing a chesed is Darkei Shalom. That's where David HaMelech, on his level, if we can understand it, what it really means, where he, so to say, made the mistake for which he's criticized by the Ribbono Shel Olam, and for which he suffered later on when his messengers come back disgraced, and there's a milchoma, which the Medrash says is all as a result of him sending the messengers in the first place. Al Tidra Shleiman V'Toivosa means don't even do a chesed to these people, because the reason for chesed to a goy is shalom, and I don't want shalom with these people. There is such a concept that certain people, one doesn't want shalom. Once that's the understanding of the Medrash, then there's a whole new yesod here. We see that there are two reasons to do chesed. There's the Ahavta L'Reach L'Kameicho, and there is Darkei Shalom. Two different reasons. Sometimes we do chesed out of a deep feeling of identification. I do chesed with another person because he is to me like myself. He's an extension of myself. A father does a chesed with a child. Is it a big cheshbon by him? to do a chesed. He educates his child, he clothes his child, he feeds his child. It's part of me. What's the shayla? So the ahavta l'reicha kamecha. And we have to feel like that with every Jew who is achicho b'tzeiro of the mitzvahs. Any Jew who shares our sense of values, one has to feel that way about. One has to develop that feeling of closeness where one feels identified with him and sympathizing with him, where one feels rachamim and chesed, and one does a chesed for that reason. And then one comes along other kinds of human beings. Goyim. The only ones who are left out of this are Jews who are not achicha b'tzeiro mitzvahs. Jews who say, I want no part in Torah, I don't believe in it, I don't want it, nothing. So there, it doesn't seem that we have to really worry about our kesholim terribly much. Or chesed, those are the only ones, those are the ones that get the least chesed of all. It's very interesting. And we find how sometimes we do the other way around. If a frum person comes into the shul, one thinks, no, he's a frum already, one doesn't have to be kind to him, he knows his way around. An irreligious person comes in, drives up to the shul, and walks into the shul, everybody's running around him. Be makarev. A goy would come in, but nobody would have anything to do with him. Comes up, tum faket. A frum Jew comes in, achicha b'tzeiro mitzvahs, one has to say, no, a stranger, he doesn't know, get him a siddur, get him a place, invite him home for lunch, it's the first thing to do. Fellow who drives up to the shul and walks in without any kind of feeling and sensitivity at all for it, stamps out his cigarette as he walks in and puts a yarmulke on his head, he's the last one one has to worry about. It's not chiyuv to be makarev him. He has to first make the first steps, then we'll be makarev him. A goy comes in, at least politics, like a sholem, he's got to feel at home. So there are two bases for doing chesed. Expedience, like a sholem, where you want peace with the person, and you do it, you're honest with yourself and all the rest of it. I don't love him and I don't care for him and I don't see eye to eye with him, but we've got to live together, we've got to deal with one another, so there better be shalom. It's going to be shalom, so I've got to do him a chesed, so I'll do a chesed. And the other kind of a chesed is, I don't care whether we see eye to, he's one of us, that's it, and I do chesed because of that. He's achicha b'tzeiro mitzvahs, this is my brother, v'yahavta l'reicha kamecha. The two Ramban speak about these two areas of chesed. The first Ramban says they broke the bris achva. The first Ramban says they, let's take the second Ramban first, they broke the bris achva. You might think that they fit into the category of ahavta l'reicha kamecha, because look how Avram related to Lot, and that's Lot was their zeder. And Avram, look at the mysterious nefesh with which Avram related to Lot. Surely they're mishpocha, surely they're brothers, and we have to relate to them using the principle of Yahavta l'reicha kamecha. And therefore says the Ramban, afa pishem b'nei mishpachtechem, even though they are mishpocha, v'Avram avichem ohaves avim ke'ach, and Avram loved their father like a brother, so surely we also have to relate to them ke'achinu b'toro v'mitzvahs? No. Le'tiyu itom lo'em ke'achi. Don't be like brothers with them, we're told. That's pshati lo'y sidro shleiman v'toivoso. Do'she sholem v'toivo. Brothers, you don't see the brother, you phone him up, how are you? I didn't see you today, are you well? That's what brothers do. It's not brothers, he didn't see you today, no, he's told me he's somewhere else. But with brothers it's not like that. There's care and concern. One is doyre sholem v'toivo. One always seeks their goodness. Not with these people. Why? Ki heim heferu is bris achva. They chose to disregard the bris achva. They didn't want the bris achva. How did they choose to disregard the bris achva? So just before our medrash, there's another medrash which says the following, a very well known medrash. Rabbi Shimon Omer, minayin shehamachti es ha'odom yoseh min ha'hirga. Where do we know from that a person who causes his brother, his friend to sin is worse than a person who kills them? If I am responsible for another person doing an aveira, that's worse than murder. Sha'hirga hirga b'olam hazav yesh l'chelik l'olam haba. If I murder a person, I don't interfere with his olam haba. What have I taken from him? A few years of life. So what? It's serious, murder serious, but it's not the most serious of averus. There are worse averus than that. The hamachti, but if you call somebody to do an avera, hergo b'olam hazeh u'olam haba, then you're damaging this world of his, and you're also damaging his olam haba, and that's serious. Shtei Omris Kidmu Yisrael Becherev V'Shtayim Be'Aveiro. Two nations confronted Yisrael with a sword and another two with Aveiro. HaMitzrim Ve'Edoimim Kodmu Bechorev. The Egyptians and the Edomim came to Yisrael with a sword. Uvez ba'aveira, and two came with aveira, Moavim and Ammonim. So the Medrash learns, unlike the Ramban, the Medrash learns that both Moav and Ammon were involved in causing Yisrael to do aveiras. Al ele shekodmu bechorev, Mitzrayim and Edom, the most vicious enemies we've had. Just think what Egypt did to Klal Yisrael, what Edom did to Klal Yisrael. The most vicious enemies we've ever had. People remember the 6 million in the last war, because 6 million is a big number and because it was recent. But that's not the biggest tragedy that's happened to Klal Yisrael, and nor was that the most cruelty. The Mitzrim made the Germans look like little babies. The Mitzrim and the Edomim, Amalek, Edom, these vicious people. What are we told? Lois Sasaiv Edomi, Lois Sasaiv Mitzrim, we're not permitted to despise them. Isur in the Torah and a love in the Torah. And Isur Doraisa, you may not despise an Edomi, you may not despise a Mitzri. Why? And the reason is given because there were times when they did favors for us as well. There were times when they helped us out, and there's Hakoras Atov. Aye, they did bad, so the bad they'll be punished for. But we cannot use that to eliminate the Hakoras Atov. If somebody does you good and afterwards he does you harm, you can't say, now I don't owe you Hakoras Atov anymore. For the good, you owe him Hakoras Atov until the end of your days. He did you harm, that's another cheshbon. The two don't cancel each other out. Aval elu shekodmu ba'aveiro lachdis Yisrael. But these that came and caused Yisrael to do aveiros, to transgress, lo yovoy amoni umavi gamdur asiri ad oilom. Never will an amoni and amoavi be allowed into Klal Yisrael. And Mitzri wants to convert, after three generations he can convert. And Edomi wants to convert, he can convert, we'll accept them. A Moavi and an Ammoni never ever can't become part of Klal Yisrael. Why? Because they attacked us spiritually. And when you attack somebody's Olam Haba, that is so immoral that that can never be forgiven. Attack somebody physically, okay, that's warfare. It comes that the war's over and you make peace and that's the end of it. But to attack an Olam Haba, that there can be no forgiveness for. That's the Mefer Bris Achva. Brothers can have a machloika sometimes, brothers can have an argument. But one thing is, if two brothers have an argument, what usually happens is that for a period of time they don't talk to each other. They have nothing to do with each other. But you very seldom find brothers that plot one another's downfall. That you don't. And when you do, that's Haforas Bris Achva. That's not Achva. Ordinary people fight and they'll try and destroy one another, but brothers don't do that. Brothers have a fight, so they're not talking to each other. But very occasionally one finds where brothers are fighting and they plot the downfall. Now whether we learn like the Ramban that the Ammonim plotted the downfall by not bringing them food and water, and the Moavim plotted their downfall spiritually, or like the Medrash, it doesn't matter. But the concept here is that they didn't behave like brothers. You have a machlokes with Israel, you're scared of them, you're worried that they'll destroy you, whatever it is. Good to have nothing to do with them. Go and live somewhere else. Move away. But when you have nothing to lose to cause their downfall, to disturb their Olam Haba, such a sneaky thing. Somebody comes into my house and I'm afraid of him and I shoot him. And afterwards I find him. He was coming with good intent. It's a terrible thing. Okay, I shot him, but it's understandable. The man came in, I was threatened. But to go into somebody else's house and to cause mischief there, where I get no advantage, just he falls, that's all. He suffers. He doesn't achieve success. In spirit, in Olam Haba matters. What do I get out of it? Absolutely nothing. That's not how a brother lives. That's not Achva. People come, they want bread and water. And they're prepared to pay for it. I've got the bread, I've got the water, they've got nothing. So a brother should give it even without pay. But maybe the brothers are having a bit of a machlokes there. Brothers are having a bit of an argument. So the brother says, "What? I'm going to give you bread and water?" That one can even understand that. So the other brother says, "Good, you've got the bread and water. Whatever it costs you, I'll pay. I'll pay more than its value. Tell me what the price is. I've got money. I just don't have food." If a brother says, "No, I won't even sell it to you," that's not achva. That's not a brother. That's enemies. That's not two brothers who are having an argument. It's mefer bris achvo, not to save a person's life, although it's going to cost you nothing. That's mefer bris achvo. Therefore, lo sidra shloiman v'tevos. Good. So they're not achim. They're not brothers, which means we are not required to care for them, to phone them up when they're not feeling well, to go and look after them, to worry about them. None of that do we have to do. We don't have to sympathize with them, and we don't have to identify with them. Not only don't we have to, but we are forbidden from doing so, because they don't behave like achim. Good, okay. But there's another din in the Rambam. Says the Rambam, Kovrim Mesei Akum, one buries the dead of the non-Jews, umenachmim aveilem, and one goes to be menachem avel, umevakrim cholehem, and one visits their sick, mipnei darke sholem. Good, I understand, so I don't owe them any emotional feeling at all. But darke sholem, their neighbors, we're going to have to do with one another. We're going to be doing business with one another. Darke sholem. So let's do chesed for them, just as sholem, like David HaMelech wanted to do with Amon. I'm not even going to speak to them, nothing. I'm just going to send messages to be Menachem. Over on the basis of this Rambam here, that even by goyim one has to go and be Menachem over because of Daike Sholoi. That says the Rambam on the first Ramban. And these are people who have no Hakoros HaTov. And therefore the Torah is Marchik them. What does Marchik them mean? Further than normal non-Jews. There's one relationship which is Jew to Jew. Leave aside mumorim, leave aside people who disassociate themselves from the Torah deliberately. The Jews who are achim b'Torah mitzvahs. It's one kind of human being. Then they're goyim. Well, one doesn't have to feel that same feeling of identification, but one feels darkei shalom, one wants good relationships, so one encourages, one does the kind of things which encourage good relationships. Chesed one does. Now the Torah is mechadesh, there's another group of people. We're marchik them. Don't do anything which brings them closer. Chesed for Darkei Sholem means I'm doing an act of chesed to bring the two of us closer, that we should be able to get on with each other. I don't want you getting on with each other, says the Torah. Why? No hakoros hatov. Why is that so critical? It's an unbelievable concept. They ovda aveda zoro, they bow down to idolatry, there's a din of darkei sholem. You still have to be. The Buddhist monk in Tibet, darkei sholem, you still have to say, show him chesed. You say good morning to him, and if he's not well, you go and visit him, and all the chesed that one does normally, one does also to the Buddhist monk in Tibet. I is an ovda aveda zoro? An idol worshipper? Doesn't matter. Murderers? The Mitzrim, the Edomim, the Germans, yimach shmon, a lot of chesed we have to do. You say shalom aleichem to them, you visit their sick, you bury their dead. And they killed us, they wanted to wipe us out. Doesn't going up to the din, darkei shalom, you've still got to get on with them, you've got to deal with them, so you do it with darkei shalom. Trocheo darkei noam, b'chol nesiv v'seo shalom. The ways of the Torah are pleasant, and all its paths lead to shalom. And therefore, if one is dealing with goyim, no matter which goyim they are, it's got to be with shalom, we do chesed. These people, the Ammonim and Amoavim, that not. They never try to kill us. Doesn't matter. No Hakoros HaTov. A nation without Hakoros HaTov, says the Rebbein Shlom, Marchik. No Chesed, no intermarriage, no conversion, nothing! And we owe them something, the Torah owes them something, because they are descended from Lot, and Lot was Meshamesh Avraham Avinu. Lot served Avraham Avinu and stood by him and helped him, and as a result of that his children were given the area of Amon and Moab, and they were given it as a Yerusha, says the Torah in Dvarim, and therefore we are not permitted to conquer those territories that remains the property of Moab and Amon ad Olam. So on the one hand we are not permitted to wipe them out, and we are not permitted to take their land, but at the same time we are not permitted to have any friendship with them or any dealing with them. Why? What's so terrible about this nation? Do they kill? No. Did they ever want to wipe us out? No. What's so terrible about them? No Hakoros HaTov. That's all. They owe us a favor and they kicked us in the pants instead. That's all. what they did. The way they kicked us wasn't as serious as the way other people have kicked us. But other people didn't owe us their lives. They owed us their lives. And for that, the Torah is marchik them absolutely. No sholoi matter. Finally, why not? Why is this? What's the Torah see this as so seriously? No sholoi at all. So we see in the Medrash, why not? You will find that anybody who shows them mercy in the end will come to disgrace and war. There are certain people that when you extend them a hand of friendship, they interpret that as a sign of weakness. And then you're finished. The moment somebody else interprets you as being weak, that's the end of you. He's going to take advantage of you, and he's going to embarrass you, and he's going to destroy you. And it's a foolishness to put yourself into the hands of a person who regards your actions as signs of weakness. Time to time, you'll often find people saying, you'll say to somebody, you know, phone him up and make peace with him. Phone him up and say, I'm sorry, get together. And you say, look, I can't. If I do that, it's a sign of weakness. He won't understand what I'm doing. And people sometimes advise, no, it doesn't matter what, sir, because he thinks it's a sign of weakness. What do you care what he thinks? The right thing is to make shalom. The right thing is not to make shalom with he who will interpret that move as a sign of weakness. Because from that will come bizoyon u'milchoma. More machlekes, more milchoma, more bizoyon will come as a result of that. Why? It's a person who doesn't have hakoros atzeiv. What's the difficulty with Hakoros HaTov? Hakoros HaTov requires an acknowledgement of debt, an acknowledgement of indebtedness. And that's one of the most difficult things for a person to do. We love to be independent. We love to believe that what we've got is our own. We love to believe that where we've got is through our own efforts. It's the most horrible thing to be reminded sometimes of where one was and where one's come from. So horrible that the Torah forbids us doing it. You're not allowed to say it to a person who's converted, remind them of old days, about tshuva, a person who used to live a different kind of life, and to remind them of old days. We're not allowed to do that. It hurts too much sometimes to remember where we've come from, particularly when we are aware, made to feel that we came that distance not only through our own efforts, we were helped along the way. Very, very difficult. Find a big balabos, has made himself a fortune, and an alter yid comes and sits and has a cup of tea with him. The alter yid is the person who put him on his feet. Very difficult for this big balabos who's throwing his weight around his empire to be able to treat this alter yid the way he needs to be treated. This is really the balabos. He's the man who really owns the empire, not me. He put me where I am. It's the most difficult thing to acknowledge. To acknowledge an indebtedness. Therefore, I said earlier that normal psychology is, okay, we slip up on these things. We owe our Hakoros HaTov, we don't show it. Good, that's the worst that happened. But to do the opposite, the answer is, it is more normal to do the opposite than just to slip up. If a person is not showing Hakoros HaTov, it's absolutely normal for him to do the opposite, for him to give a kick in the pants to the person he owes the most to. Why? Because that shows that it releases me of that indebtedness. What's teenage rebellion? What is it? And the child tries to get out on his own. And how does he do it? By talking in a foul way to his parents, by disgracing his parents, by humiliating his parents. He doesn't do it just by walking out. No, that nachas he won't even give them. Rub it in and rub it in, that teenage rebellion. What is it? It's the inability to say, I'm growing up, but I'm your child still. Everything I've got is from you. Kid can't say that. And so he fights against it. Normal behavior under those circumstances. The normal thing is, if a person does not have Yirah Shemayim and does not have basic morality, is to kick, to be boyet, to kick the person who actually put them where they are. In financial matters, in physical matters, in emotional matters, in spiritual and religious matters, it's absolutely normal behavior. The Torah doesn't allow it. It's the basis of morality is to overcome that drive. But that there exists that drive, that's normal. If there exists that drive and one has not been able to overcome it, that means I'm not able to acknowledge indebtedness. What am I going to do when the person with whom I've had a long-standing machlokes calls me up and says, you know what, let's make shalom. What am I going to say? He You know, my friend that I've been arguing with all these years, he's a godel. He's a great person. I've been cocking over here and he phoned me up to make sure. What a great man. What a mistake I've made. Is that what I say? That's not what I say. I call my friends and I say, you know what happened today? He phoned me up. He wants to make shalom already. It's beginning to hurt him. We're winning. That's what I do. Says the Torah, if that's what I do, the other person is not permitted to show the signs of shalom. And what happens if he does? Bizoyenu milchoma. He must know what he's going to suffer as a result of that. Further humiliation, disgrace, and further machlekes. Because it will be seen as a sign of weakness. And therefore, what can we do with Amon and Moab? To show them feelings of identification? No. Hadei mishpoche, but they were mefer bris achvos, says the Ramban. They annulled the covenant of brotherhood, and therefore there's no feeling of identification. Still, darke sholem? No acts of sholem to people who have no hakoros atoiv, that's the first Ramban. These are people who don't know how to show HaKoros HaTov. If you will show them chesed, they don't know how to feel indebted to you. They don't know how to acknowledge your strong points and your greatness. They will interpret that as weakness. And therefore the best thing you can do is, the only thing you can do, unfortunately, tragically, the only thing you can do is richok. Have nothing to do with them at all. If they walk down this pavement, you cross the road and walk on the other pavement. Just have nothing to do with it. Don't say Shalom Aleichem. Don't say good morning. Don't say good afternoon. Nothing at all. Because whatever you do, you'll suffer for. You don't feel any closeness to them. You're not meant to feel any closeness to them. And nor for Darkei Shalom. Not even politics. Because you'll come off second best. Any political move you'll make will be interpreted as weakness. And you'll be destroyed as a result of that. Therefore, there is this third category of people. One category of people, the fourth category we now have. There's the category of people over whom the din of the Ahav to the Re'echa Kamecha applies. You must want for them what you want for yourself. Do for them what you would want done for yourself. The Ahav to the Re'echa Kamecha. There's another category of people, Goyim, where there is a din of Darkei Shole. One has to act with chesed also to non-Jewish people in order to encourage good relations, even if one doesn't feel that close feeling of identity. Still, there's a derecheretzdik way to behave, there's a polite way to behave, and that involves doing normal chesed, one with the other. That's with the non-Jew. There are people like the Amalekim, who we have to destroy and wipe out utterly. That's the third category of people. And there is a fourth category of people. The Moavim, and the Ammonim, and the Midjonim. Just nothing to do with them at all. No shalom, no milchoma. Don't fight with them, don't have peace with them. Leave them alone. One sees in all this the realism and the depth of Torah, as opposed, lahavdil, to so many other philosophies and religion. It's true that the shalom is one of the greatest of all midas in the Torah. Shalom, what the Torah does for shalom. Even a lie is permitted under certain circumstances. The Ribbono Shel Olam himself in Vayera tells a lie for shalom, that there should be peace. How far are we prepared to go to bend the rules for peace? But it's not with blindness. It's not peace over all this. It is peace over all else, provided the peace is like a peace. But yet at the same time, the Torah tempers that idealism with realism. There are certain people who don't know how to handle peace. There are certain people who aren't sophisticated enough morally and aren't developed enough spiritually to be able to relate in that way. They don't understand it. They see peace as weakness. Such a person, what does one do? Peace? No. War? No. Richuk. There is such a concept as richuk. In our society today, we're all very overwhelmed and preoccupied with the concept of kiruf. It has to be makarif. True, it's a big thing to be makarif. But there is also an Indian in Richuk. There are certain people that one, just as there are some people one has to be makarev, one has to draw them in, so there are people one has to be merachik, one has to push them away. Because there are people who don't understand the bases of morality. And the basis of morality about which we're talking about is the concept of hakoros hatov, the ability to look to a friend and say, ah, what I owe him, what he did for me, he's putting out a hand of friendship when I'm the one who caused the machlokes. What a great man. doing me a favor when I didn't really deserve it, how can I repay him? That HaKoros HaTov is the first requirement for Kiruv. If the person doesn't have that, if the person isn't able to show HaKoros HaTov, not only is there no requirement of Kiruv, but in certain extreme cases there's even the requirement of Richuk Chas V'Sholom, and one has to push such a person aside. Not that the Chas V'Sholom, any such concept applies to us directly, except in as much as to know that things have to be thought out and things have to be understood, and that the Torah is not indiscriminate in its desire to promote Sholom and its desire to bring people closer to the Torah itself. Nevertheless, the Torah goes through a process of selectivity. There are certain people who deserve the privilege of Sholom. If one dishes Sholom out indiscriminately, one is claiming that Sholom is no privilege. If everybody deserves it, it's not a privilege, then it becomes a right. Sholom is not a right, it is a privilege. And the moment it's a privilege, it has to be with discrimination. Kiruv, coming close to Am Yisrael, is not a right, it's a privilege. The moment it's a privilege, it has to be with discrimination. Chesed, kindness, is not a right, it's a privilege. And that chesed also has to be done with discrimination, where one evaluates and measures who the person is. One respects him for his greatness, one understands his strong points, and one does chesed with him, either because one wants shalom with him, or even greater, because of the Avta L'Reach HaKamecho, one feels the identity of a brother together with him.